This is a service of morning prayer for Sunday, April 12th, Easter Sunday. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. May his grace and peace be with you. May he fill our hearts with joy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia, the Lord is risen indeed. O come, let us worship. Alleluia. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with a song. Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call upon his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age. Alleluia. The Lord is risen indeed. O come, let us worship. Alleluia.
Not with John to find the grave.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people, and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 118, verses 14 to 24. Please join on the odd, bolded verses of the psalm. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Alleluia. Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death that he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. so also consider yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Alleluia. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Alleluia. The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Along with millions around the world, today we gather, but differently than ever before. We celebrate the principal feast of the Christian tradition. We mark on this day the reason we exist in the first place, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have gathered, however we are apart, but we are still the church. Needing to meet alone or in very small groups, sometimes in fear, is not a new experience for the Christian community. For many, it began that way in the first few centuries. In the early Christian community, it was a typical way of being. For some in the world, it is still the case as they experience sustained religious persecution or exile, and in the extreme case, martyrdom. It reminds us that often Christianity has a cost to it. In addition to that, we know that pandemics and illnesses have been a part of societal and Christian history from the very beginning. Today is the principal feast of the church. However, many will be feeling a sense of grief and loss, perhaps because we know in some ways things will never be the same again, even after the urgency of this pandemic has passed. For some, the changes being experienced are deep and profound, and in some cases, irreversible. With such changes come losses for which we were not prepared. Everything which was normal is no longer, and we not only feel the effects as individuals, we are grieving together as churches, as communities, as a nation, and as a global community. We are grieving the losses which may be temporary, but a moment in time. However, we may also be grieving in anticipation of what may not return. We now have more time to think, and perhaps some of the questions we ponder are these. What have we lost? What might never be the same again? What things, activities did we take for granted? What will finally be the new normal as we come out of this on the other side? And what new insights have we been given? How will we be better people based on what we have learned? What will we take up and what needs to be discarded and left behind? Finally, how will we be transformed based on this experience? Easter is about transformation, and each of us at some level seek transformation, to be freed from psychological bondage, to be reawakened in our faith, to be liberated from fear or pain or self-destructive behaviors. Easter is about freedom and the movement from death to life, rooted in the love of God given to us in Jesus Christ. Everything we do as Christians is rooted firmly in the Easter event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the victory of Jesus from death to life is at the heart of all our rituals and liturgies and actions. If there is any one aspect of the Christian faith, one tenet that stands above all others, it is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But while it is the centerpiece of faith, the resurrection, and therefore the lordship of Jesus, is for some the most difficult doctrine to believe. There was and is no proof, at least on the surface. No one witnessed the resurrection event itself. No one was present when it happened. No effort is made by the Gospels to describe what took place. Jesus' own closest disciples had trouble believing it. Neither did the empty tomb in itself bring anyone to life-changing faith. And we need to remember that no one dreamed or expected to find Jesus' body missing, especially his followers. If they thought something was going to happen, we might imagine that they would have stuck around. What then brought people to an Easter faith? What brings us? What power has allowed the Christian movement and its faith to survive amidst persecution and turmoil and time itself? It was and is not just a matter of convincing others. The disciples themselves, after the crucifixion, needed to be convinced. They had come to believe that all they had left was a dead martyr. They had come to truly believe that all had been lost. They really thought and believed that it was all over. So what brought people to an Easter faith? Simply this. In the midst of overwhelming doubt and despair, hopelessness and anger, abandonment and a sense of betrayal, the disciples encountered the risen Jesus, to their great surprise, and they realized that God had raised Jesus from the dead, that God's love had triumphed, that tragedy had been overcome by victory, that their hope had not been in vain, and the promises made to them had been true. C.S. Lewis had this to say about the resurrection. He wrote, "We can never possibly learn what happened in that tomb early in the morning of that first day, nor can we possibly learn all that loving curiosity craves to know about the nature of the risen body of Christ during the great 40 days. We can say that something tremendous had to have happened to transform those first disciples from what they were before to what they became after. There was indeed an event, even if it is beyond either our scrutiny or our historical verification." When modern writers talk of the resurrection, they usually mean one particular moment, the discovery of the empty tomb and the appearance of Jesus a few yards away from it. The story of that moment is what Christian apologists now chiefly try to support, and skeptics chiefly try to impugn. But this almost exclusive concentration on the first 5 minutes or so of the resurrection would have astonished the earliest Christian teachers. In claiming to have seen the resurrection, they were not necessarily claiming to have seen that. Some of them had, some of them had not. It had no more importance than any of the other appearances of the risen Jesus, apart from the poetic and dramatic importance which the beginning of things, must always have. What they were claiming was that they had all at one time or another met Jesus during the 6 or 7 weeks that followed his death. Sometimes they seemed to have been alone when they did so, but on one occasion, 12 of them saw him together, and on another occasion, about 500 of them. St. Paul says the majority of the 500 were all still alive when he wrote the first letter to the Corinthians. The resurrection to which they bore witness was, in fact, not the action of rising from the dead, but the state of having risen, a state as they held attested to by intermittent meetings during a limited period. Everything that Jesus had proclaimed, everything that he had done and taught, everyone that he had healed, everyone who had been given hope, all of it, everything that his whole life stood for, had been vindicated. It had all been true, and it is true. The Easter story is a story of redemption and love. We have been forgiven, and it is that simple, and it is that profound. Jesus was the Word made flesh, the Son of God. To experience Easter is to once again encounter love and hope and new life. Yet on earth we live in a paradox, and we do so at this very moment in history. Yet there is hope flickering in the darkness. New life surrounds us. Frederick Buchner wrote these words. In the Gospel according to St. John, the way of the Gospel writer tells it, Jesus came back from death, not in a blaze of glory, but more like a candle flame in the dark, flickering first in this place, then in that place, then in no place at all. There's hope flickering in the darkness. We will still have our troubles and losses and fears and doubts and oddities and weaknesses, human illness and pandemic. And on some levels, we are still broken and incomplete, because regardless of Easter, we are still frail human beings who will live out our human lives. But we also have assurance and stability won for us by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we have the profound knowledge that we are loved to a measure beyond our human understanding and to a depth beyond our comprehension. To experience Easter is to be reminded of the value of human life, of our value, of our goodness, of our potential, and that life has meaning. The last word about life is not death or loss or the pain of the cross or even the empty tomb. Resurrection faith began as an experience, an encounter between unbelieving, broken followers who, by finding Jesus in a wholly new, incorruptible body, were themselves resurrection. It did not start as a theological dogma, something that needed to be believed because a Christian told you to. Easter is coming face to face with a Jesus who has not just reversed death, but has triumphed over it. The Christian faith boldly proclaims this wonderful news. Death, the final enemy, is defeated. Death has been swallowed up in victory. From the oldest strata of the primitive Christian communities onward, for over 2,000 years, this has been the testimony on which Christianity stands or falls, that Jesus lived. And that is the mystical, mighty truth which we celebrate on this sacred day. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Let us confess our faith as we say, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In joy and hope, let us pray to the source of all life, saying, hear us, Lord of glory, that our risen Savior may fill us with the joy of his holy and life-giving resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory, that isolated and persecuted churches and all peoples may find fresh strength in the Easter gospel. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory, that God may grant us humility to be subject to one another in Christian love. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory, that God may provide for those who lack food, work, or shelter. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory, that by God's power, pandemics, wars, and famine may cease through all the earth. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory, that God may reveal the light of his presence to the sick, the weak, the dying, and the bereaved, that they may be comforted and strengthened. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory, that God may send the fire of the Holy Spirit upon the whole church, that we may bear faithful witness to Christ's resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory. I invite you now to offer your own prayers and petitions to God. Hear us, Lord of glory. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord of life and power, through the mighty resurrection of your Son, you have overcome the old order of sin and death and have made all things new in him. May we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, reign with him in glory, who with you and the Holy Spirit is alive, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Go forth in the name of Christ. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.